Well, the grain markets gave back most of what they gained yesterday, and there may have been some serious damage done to the chart outlook for old crop soybeans. There was just a lot of activity on the red side of the card for the grains. Livestock, different story, but it wasn't the day we hoped for in hogs.
Live from the land of expanding puddles via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Ben Cash from Bauer Trading, and right after the news, Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis, welcome back. Yeah, man, like I said, it wasn't the day that we hoped for in the hog market. We gapped higher. It looked great right out the gate. Gapped above 90 bucks in the April contract, and then we just kind of drifted back. But after a limit up close like we had yesterday, it wasn't what we were looking for.
I'm taking issue with that. It was a dismal market performance across the board. They should all be ashamed of themselves.
Well, you and your big, bad, bearish attitude come marching back into work, and you brought lower grain prices with you.
Dare I say consolidation? Is it anything along those lines?
Why?
Can we work
Why
that in?
Why do you say that? No,
it's for the listeners.
I don't think it was consolidation.
They like that kind of thing.
Do they?
I imagine they do.
Love it. No, I don't think today was a consolidation day. We built on the range in bean futures. New high in corn, couldn't really hold on to that.
Right.
So I don't know. We'll find out from Ben. We'll find out from Oliver coming up here in just a couple of minutes whether or not there's as much damage or potential damage done to these markets as what it suggests.
Maybe I overreacted. I was emotional.
Okay. Well, it's okay. You can show some emotion from time to time. You don't have to be dead inside.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. Can I just say, Chip? No, yes. Let's move on.
Let's get to the news.
Chip, wheat export sales in the weekend of February 18 of 182,500 metric tons were well below pre-report trade expectations. The inability of July soft red futures to push through resistance at yesterday's high triggered the profit-taking. On the plus side, the new crop contract also respected support at yesterday's low. Traders said the risk of increased export competition from Australia and even India was also a negative for wheat futures today. July hard red winter wheat a dime lower, 656 and a quarter. July soft red fell 7 cents, 663 and one half. September spring wheat off 6 and a half, 665 even, Chip.
Yeah, it's funny how the wheat market picks and chooses what it's going to focus on from day to day, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
They could have just as easily said, yeah, you know what? We're not going to be getting the supplies out of Russia because of that export tax, and we've got an increase in the tax coming on March 1. But no, instead, today, they looked at Australia and some rains and a good crop out of India as negatives on the market. It's weird.
Well, corn export sales of just over 453,000 metric tons for delivery in the old crop marketing year were just under trade expectations, while new crop sales of nearly 146,000 metric tons were in line with trade expectations. The disappointing slowdown in export demand and weather-driven slashing of ethanol production have combined to put the corn market on the defensive. While May corn futures led the price decline, the market did respect the uptrend drawn off the recent spike lows. May corn futures 7 1/4 cents lower, 549 3/4. July corn fell 7 1/2 cents, 539 3/4. Dease corn 474 on the close, down 2 3/4. Chip.
The list of buyers on the corn sales starts with Peru.
Peru?
Peru.
What Peru are you talking about?
With Peru. Then Vietnam, which was a switch from China.
Okay.
And then we get to Japan. And then we get to Mexico. And then we get to South Korea. I mean, it's the traditional buyers were down the list. And it's not like Peru made a huge buy either.
Sure. Well, bean export sales of just 239,000 metric tons were very disappointing to market bulls. The news came after old and new crop beans made new contract highs in the overnight session. The sell-off in old crop futures sent values below yesterday's low, and the low-range close completed a downside key reversal. New crop futures did respect support at yesterday's low, but the low-range close points to some selling pressure when the market restarts this evening. May bean futures 18 and one quarter cents lower today, 14.07 and a half. July fell 14 and three quarter cents, 13.97 and a quarter. November bean futures closed at 12.30 and three quarters, down 7.5 cents. Chip?
The Netherlands. The Netherlands topped the list of buyers in beans.
Don't you mean unknown? Come on.
No. Huh? The Netherlands.
All right.
And then Japan, and then Germany, then Bangladesh, then Spain. Do you see who's missing? That's a big reason that the market was under pressure.
Interesting. Cotton export sales totaled nearly 248,000 running bales for old crop and nearly 41,000 bales for new crop delivery. May cotton was 400 points lower, 89.69. December cotton dropped 288 to 84.78. Ouch.
My
livestock.
Gosh. Yeah. That May cotton chart was bottom left to top right. Okay. Mm-hmm. And today was a huge, huge downside reversal in that market. We'll talk about that later.
You want to get to Oliver real quick? We can do the livestock in a minute.
Yeah, let's. All right, Oliver Slope, Blue Line Trading. How you doing, Oliver?
I'm getting along. We're thawing out up here, so life is good.
Good. Love hearing that. We've got the, as Davis said, expanding puddles down here as well. What's the deal, man? This bean market just gave back everything that we worked so hard to put on yesterday.
Oh, I know it. I know it. I mean, 52 and a quarter cent range. I expect that volatility to continue as we head into the weekend. We've got the last trading day of the month and first notice day for March futures. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the volatility persist. But, you know, we did manage to hold 13.93 and a quarter to $14. We put that out this morning to clients. That was the previous breakout point. So previous resistance now becomes support. Despite how ugly today's session was, the fact that we're able to defend that on a closing basis is somewhat constructive. We start closing back below there, that's when I get a little bit nervous.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Good stuff. Hogs. I mean, it wasn't everything that you hoped for in that front month contract after putting $3 on it yesterday, but not a terrible performance.
I mean, it's just been borderline parabolic, expanded limits. We weren't able to really utilize those today, but all in all, still pretty darn constructive. And this has been one of those markets and that has just been unstoppable. And we've seen it in a lot of commodity markets over the last 8 months. It's just all this momentum, and you get some fundamental tailwinds behind it. And you think we're overextended, but you can't step in front of a market like this. The strength is just so strong. I would eventually love to see a pullback, but obviously not. That don't confuse that with being bearish at these levels.
That's right. That's right. All right. Do you look at the cotton market at all?
You know, I do a little bit, and I know it's been just up and to
huge.
The right, as you had mentioned. In a day like today, you know, it's not all that shocking. I wouldn't be surprised to see the volatility pick up. And again, end of the month could create a little bit more volatility.
Yep. You know, got to keep an eye on the calendar when days like today happen. That's an excellent point, sir. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Take care.
That's Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. Okay, when we come back, we're going to be having a conversation with Ben Cash from Bauer Trading next, right here on AgriTalk.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Dallaro Complete. Keep your operation moving forward with Dallaro Complete from Bayer.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. We're going to be having a conversation with Ben Cash from Bauer Trading here real soon. First, let's get through that livestock news.
Well, Chip, I've got beef export sales, just 8,500 tons. That limited buying interest in live cattle futures. April live cattle were 55 cents lower, 121.67 and a half. June cattle fell 60 cents, 119.50. March feeders firmed a nickel, 140.42 and a half. And on the snout side, pork export sales of 25,600 metric tons didn't do much to support lean hog futures. April lean hogs were 32.5 cents higher, 89.75. June hogs were 15 cents lower, 95.75. But I think you're right. You know, I have a hard time being angry with the livestock here. Feels like they might be consolidating a little bit in this area.
Okay. Maybe? I don't know. I do not know.
I just wanted
to say
it
again. All
right,
thanks, Davis. I know you
did. You're welcome.
Let's bring in Ben Cash, Power Trading. Ben, it's good to talk with you again. Welcome back.
Yeah, appreciate it. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing fine. We are doing just fine. Export sales report this morning. Ugh, kind of a groaner, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely was. Big disappointment there. You know, basically, the daily sales reporting has gone quiet since February 12th. We haven't had one since February 12th, and it's starting to reflect in these weekly sales reports now. You know, also, we've got South America underbidding us on some of this corn and beans as their harvest is, you know, stepping up as the days go on. So, yeah, these are pretty disappointing numbers. The cancellation on corn from China. You know, also, you know, triggered the selling here this morning, and, you know, it was looking pretty good overnight. You know, we had new highs on the soybean markets, and this technical action, you know, really did some damage to the charts here. So, yep. You know, we'll see what tomorrow brings. But, yeah, this export sales was the big trigger here today.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You've got to get the follow-through and the confirmation to some of the signals that the charts might have been flashing today. But, you know, Oliver didn't seem too concerned about it, but I don't know, Ben. The kind of chart action that we're seeing is the stuff that 3 months later you look back at it and say, man, I can't believe that was it. That told us right there. You know, it felt like
it might be one
of those days. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely could be. I mean, we've got a... You know, forecasted record crop coming out of Brazil, likely to be over 130 million metric tons there on soybeans. You know, the corn has yet to be, you know, planted for that second crop corn, but, you know, we got a big harvest ahead of us down there. And then with signs of these exports slowing. And then this rally here it's not very young. It's been since August.
Right.
We've been kind of just creeping along up here. So funds, they've actually have been lighting up on their position a little bit. Their record long, or their high, 748,000 contracts back on January 5th. There were 278,000 there on the five major ags on last Friday's CFTC report. So they're lighting it up a little bit. And then if you're looking at the macros here, the bond yields are increasing. That means the market's worried about inflation. Fed may, you know, start to up interest rates. So the market's always looking ahead, and I think that's what a little bit of the warning sign was, first notice day, end of the month, you know, all kind of piling on top of each other here.
Right, right. You know, we're kind of bad mouth, and I'm with you on bad mouthing the exports here the last couple of days, but they've been so good. And when you go to the balance sheet, Ben, do they need to add something to the corn export estimate yet? I mean, we're so far ahead of of where we were a year ago. We're so far ahead of the pace that we need to be on to beat USDA's number. But I deep down, I still feel like maybe they're at least 100 million bushels too low on that.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you right now. I guess what the USDA is waiting for is more confirmation. You know, days like today when you get disappointing sales number, you can kind of argue, you know, I can see why they are waiting to up these, you know, up these export numbers. So, you know, then also, you know, we're still in the midst of planting down in South America. That's probably why they're waiting on it too. You know, end users see the weather is improving down there. So, you know, maybe that's another reason we're seeing these exports start to slow on old crop sales. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on. You know, there's also been talk the past couple of days about China advancing their corn acres. Over the past 5 years, they lost 9.6 million acres out of production, and they're supposed to be upping that here this next year. You know, where those acres are going to come from, you know, I'm not quite sure, but, you know, they're definitely trying to push for 1.6, I guess, is what they're indicating.
Ben, when you read some of the comments from their latest meeting where they were laying out their blueprint for the economy and everything – it almost sounds like they're just going to make new ground. They're going to make new high quality ground is how it reads. And you got to think, no, there's no way that that's what they're really saying. But that is how it reads. It's kind of funny. But you're exactly right. They've gone through a time period where it was wheat, rice, and corn that they were trying to be. And I know that I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. You and Jim over at Bauer Trading watch what's happening in China very, very closely. But they were trying to be self-sufficient on those three primary crops: rice, wheat, and corn. With the conversion of their feeding on the hogs away from food scraps to corn and other feed grains, guys, they are actually having to use some rice and wheat to feed hogs. So the plan, according to their number one document, like Ben just said, is to bring some of those acres back into corn production to take some pressure off of the demand for feed grains in general. And Ben, I just don't know how they're going to get it done. What's your guys saying?
Yeah, I don't really see how it's going to get done. I mean, similar to here, we're running, you know, we're not making any better farm ground in the U.S. So similar right. Situation over there in China. So, yeah. You know, I don't know how they're going to get it done, but, you know, the old saying is, you know, do what China does, not what they say. And this is kind of, you know, this could be one that they're trying to push this corn market back down to get some more on the books. You know, it just has that feeling to it.
Right. Right. You mentioned interest rates as well, Ben. I want to go back to that because yesterday everybody was on the inflation train. Everybody was talking about, yeah, this does feel like an inflation trade happening in the commodities because the energies were participating. It was broad-based. And there was Powell saying, listen, you know what? We don't see inflation as an issue. Interest rates are going to stay low forever. But the market is telling us something else, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is. And it's showing some warning signs here, you know, that things may be peaking out, you know, overvaluations in the stock market, you know, some of these, you know, the trade situations, you know, may have peaked too. You know, we had some, you know, economic indicators here. You know, you had high prices in cotton shot up, you know, over the past several months, lumber, copper, you know, things are getting kind of too high. And I think that's why this 10-year T-note is starting to add some yield to it. They're looking for the Fed to start to step in on some of this.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they took a big chunk out of cotton today, boy. That was an impressive turnaround after it went up and made a new contract high and then turned right back around. Okay, real quick before we get to the break, we've got a couple of minutes here so we can get into this. Help me out with the reports that it's too wet in the northeastern production in Brazil's northeastern production areas, and what is it doing to the bean crop?
Yeah, it's kind of a mixed bag there because they were late getting that crop in because it was too dry. They were waiting. You know, they don't have insurance dates quite like we do here in the U.S. where, you know, if it's dry, we're gonna plant in the dust. They waited on it, so okay. It's a little bit of a mixed, you know. Some of that crop's benefiting from this rain, and some, yeah, maybe hurting a little bit. But overall, you know, that crop is going to be out of there. The forecast is actually drying down a little bit out in the two-week outlook for them. So here we just don't see it as a real concern. We're growing a little bit more cautious there on that old crop bean price.
Okay. Argentina, any issues there?
Yeah, they have quite a bit of dryness right now, forecast. According to our head forecaster, has it wetting up next week. Now, we'll have to keep an eye on if that develops, but he's been hinting at rains next week. They're going to be really beneficial for that Argentine crop, really critical for them. Both of his models are starting to line up, or basically line up and validate each other. So He's pretty confident in that rain here next week, and I think that's what the market's looking at too here. That's why it added to the weakness.
Boy, that feels like it'd be just in the nick of time kind of rains for Argentina, doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely does. Does here. So
yep.
They've been, you know, extremely dry throughout their growing season, but it's a real critical time as, you know, this is where you add the yield right now.
Exactly. All right. We're talking with Ben Cash from Bauer Trading. Ben's coming back, and when we come back, we're going to take a look into the 2021-22 marketing year. It all starts with acres and what we're going to get planted here in the U.S. Ben Cash, Bauer Trading, right here on AgriTalk. It's time for headline news featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers. First thing today, slow arrival of beans in China, again expected to slow down their crushings. Ukraine brings in soybeans from Brazil. Australian Weather Bureau expects La Nina conditions to shift to neutral in the months ahead. We've talked about that on AgriTalk before. Modest boost in Chinese corn plantings likely in 2021. We just talked about that with Ben. Real world study finds Pfizer vaccine is 94% effective. Kazakhstan bans foreign ownership of farmland. Brazilian ranchers oppose cattle imports from Paraguay. And Afghanistan is the latest to report bird flu. All of that was in this morning's first thing today from Pro Farmers. So give it a try. Head on over to tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Never miss a story. Text NEWS to 31313 to have today's top stories delivered to your phone.
Welcome back. I'm Chip. Davis is with me, and we're having a conversation with Ben Cash from Bauer Trading.
Before we
get back to Ben, let's go ahead and recap how the market's closed, and don't skip over cotton. Okay, we got to
don't skip over cotton. Yeah. You're saying don't. I don't want to. July hard red winter wheat a dime lower, 6.56 1/4. July soft red fell 7 cents, 6.63 1/2. May corn futures 7 1/4 cents lower, 5.49 3/4. July corn fell 7 1/2 cents to 5.39 3/4. May soybean futures 18 1/4 cents lower, 14.07 1/2. July beans fell 14 3/4 cents, 13.97 1/4. May cotton was 89.69, 400 points lower. I'll say it. May cotton down 400 points, 89.69. April live cattle 55 cents lower, 121.67 1/2. March feeders up a nickel, 140.42 1/2. And April lean hogs were 32 1/2 cents higher. 89.75. There's your quick market recap. Now back to you.
Enthusiasm I'm looking for. Thank you.
Roger that.
All right. That's Davis. Thanks, buddy. Let's bring in Ben Cash back from Bauer Trading. We covered a lot of the demand side and some of the supply side in the last segment, Ben. Let's jump into the 2021-22 marketing year. You saw the numbers from the USDA Ag Outlook Forum last week. Did you like those numbers that we were getting, from the planted acres to the carryovers? Anything really stand out from those numbers?
The soybean acreage number, 90 million acres, I thought that was pretty optimistic given where the price relationship was of corn to beans, also the fall outlook. There's a lot of fall tillage here around the Midwest that it was very geared to corn, I feel like. And I just don't think that, when those numbers came out, I don't think the soybean market had those acres. And I think that's what the end users were looking at, too. A 145 carryout with 90 million acres, didn't seem likely. So I think that's another reason we've seen the rally in the Novi soybean market. Up to new highs above 1250 today, or in the overnight trade, I should say, not during the day session. But, it was just worried about supplies. I mean, that is an extremely tight carry out there for new crop, 3.2% stocks-to-use ratio. That is still very supportive to the soybean market, not only the front end, but also out there on that new crop contract. So, the corn market here, that 92 million acres, I think that could be a little light. The U.S. farmer, if the weather outlook looks good in the spring, they keep that corn planter rolling. And there's been, just talking to seed dealers that are, through our customers too, it just seems like The U.S. farmer likes to grow corn, and I think that 92 million acre number could be a little light, given that we hit almost 480 today on new crop corn.
Yeah. The 182 million acre combined between corn and soybeans in those projections from USDA, that would be a record level. Do you kind of like that number? Just move some from beans back over to corn, or is it going to come in under that?
Once again, depends on weather the past 2 years. The prevent plant has just been unreal. But I kind of like that number. I think the price has been there. These U.S. farmers is geared up to go. We finally got some good prices the past 3-4 years. It's been pretty depressing, and at these price levels, they're ready to go start making some money.
Okay. You know, with those carryover projections that USDA delivered, 1.552 billion on corn and 145 million bushels on soybeans, that's for the end of the 2021-22 marketing year, everybody. Those are the kind of carryover projections, like you said, but that should support the new crop markets. And Ben, it feels like it's going to put some lift in those markets for months, not just run them up and then set things back, but hold them up at a decent level for a period of time, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, with this growing season, we're likely to see some big rallies, but also some sizable dips, on a overnight weather forecast. But yeah, these carryouts, this is razor thin margin for weather adversity on corn and beans. They're using a 179.5 yield on corn, which is, would be a record. Soybean yield, I believe, 50.8. So, once again, there is not a lot of room for weather adversity here. And look at the drought monitor released this morning. You got drought, over major corn states, soybean states, out west, northern plains. I mean, it looks very concerning going into spring. Probably good for planting, but not the growing season here.
Yeah. That's going to hurt those cattle guys out there too. The cow-calf guys that trying to run, trying to graze out there. I'm just concerned that this cattle industry is setting up to go through some tough times ahead again early in the cycle because of drought conditions out there. I don't know. I'm very concerned for the cattle market in the year ahead, at least the cow-calf guys. Have you guys given that any thought?
Yeah, they're going to be under quite a bit of pressure. They just had this storm that really hurt calving, dealing with high feed costs that are likely not to come down. Pasture conditions are likely to suffer a little bit because of the dryness. You still have ongoing COVID. Yeah, we got another vaccine likely to roll out, but these restaurants and that are not opening up like they should. And the market's front-end loaded because of that. We got a lot of cattle on feed that have been on feed for 120 days. A lot been on the feed for 150. Weights are higher than a year ago. It's just all adding up. Front or cash cattle price is 114. The boards, you look at the defers, they're pricing in some stepped up demand. Once again, it's going to be definitely tough sledding for ranchers out there.
Interesting. Okay. All right. I kind of took a side path there over to the cattle real quick. Let's come back to the grains. What's your level of urgency to get some coverage in place on 21 crop?
I think it needs to start looking at it now. You need to watch your basis levels. I was talking to many customers this week, particularly along the river. It was just kind of interesting to see what those were for fall, and they were even money basis levels on fall delivery for beans and corn. So that was quite impressive, but I think these days like these make you really want to look at it. You got to be flexible in your marketing strategy. Not the board and paper is not for everybody, but it's definitely a useful tool. Remember, you can re-own sales too if you sell at your elevator. I think we are getting to those levels, particularly on corn, I feel like, because I think that 92 million acres was a little bit light. Soybeans, I still think the end user is very concerned at 145. I mean, we've been crushing beans at a record pace, so I'm a little more optimistic on the beans, but, you know, that $12 soybeans, you know, it's hard not to get some sales made there. And, you know, like I said, you can sell at the elevators, you know, buy puts. You know, if you do make some sale, you can obviously use, you know, the futures contracts. You can cover with a call to protect the upside too, yeah, or keep the upside open. So, I mean, there's a lot of flexibility there. But I think these prices right now definitely call for some risk management for that balance sheet for next year.
Yeah. Ben, I did a marketing panel conversation for Top Producer Summit over the lunch hour today. Had some farmers on there with us, and there were four farmers on the panel, and each of them talked about maintaining that flexibility. Ben, it feels good to have a conversation like that, and to have the opinions line up. And we've been preaching the flexibility here on AgriTalk too. Okay, it's to the point now that I'm starting to feel a little concerned that maybe everybody's got the same idea, and I've seen it too many times, Ben. That's when it doesn't work. A little concerning.
Yeah, you know, once again, we haven't seen these price levels for a while either.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
You gotta protect price levels. So, you know, it is a little bit concerning. And, you know, once again, this rally is not young, so I think you need to protect the rally. But also, you know, with the tightness that we're experiencing, not just in the U.S., I mean, China did not have a good crop last year, and they kept it quiet forever, and then they just started buying like crazy. You know, it got out of hand, and, you know, a situation like that could happen again. We're seeing a lot of extreme weather in major exporting countries. Russia was dry, winter wheat planting. You know, they got an export tariff on, and, you know, there's situations like that that we got to be aware of. I mean, these are very global markets, so, you know, once again, being flexible and utilizing, you know, the board is key in that. So, you know, there's a lot of things to do, whether it be just futures or options. You know, there's short-dated options that trade off new crop price that, you know, a lot of guys aren't aware of that are a great tool, you know, throughout the year.
Yeah, pay attention to them, and if you've got a broker, an advisor that you're working with, ask them about those short-dated options, because, like Ben just said, there are some opportunities there, and they can, when you're not buying all the time, they can give you some flexibility in your marketing plans. Ben, great conversation, man. Thank you so much.
Hey, no problem. I appreciate having me.
Yeah, you bet. Say hey to Jim for us. Appreciate it. Okay, that's Ben Cash, Bauer Trading. When we come back, I've got a few notes that I want to take a look at. I want to talk more about that marketing panel that I moderated over the lunch hour and share some of the ideas that we got from Rorick, from Ben, from Ted, and from Jay. That's next right here on AgriTalk.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Did you say you were installing paneling over the lunch hour? You installed some paneling? Did you go with the 900 PTL or just the 850 PTL?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, PTL, that's panel tensile units, of course.
I mean,
you can save a little money with the 850, but the 900, you know, that's going to last, is the thing.
I gotcha. Yeah. No.
No?
I moderated a panel.
Moderated a panel, of course.
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah.
I was way off.
Rorick Paulman, Ben Renchie, Ted Hamer, and Jay Myers.
Way.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a great crew.
Oh, it was awesome. Are you kidding? There were some common themes. And what we talked about is tried to kind of demystify the decision-making process on marketing and risk management. There were some common themes from all four of the guys, but there were some very interesting differences as well. Everybody wants to start with crop insurance. All right.
Okay.
That's number one. But don't just this one came from Ben. I thought it was really good. Basically, what Ben was saying is don't just use what you used a year ago because that's what you used a year ago. Make the decision every year on what you should be using based on conditions that fit today. And
that makes a lot of sense.
And use that age. And, you know, as soon as Ben said it, I was thinking to myself, oh, my gosh, how many do you think when they make their crop insurance decision go to their agent and say, ah, you know what, let's just do what we did a year ago.
Right. Yeah.
Make the decision every year on what kind of insurance you are going to use. Ben's idea is to start with the basic, the just yield protection. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just start with the lowest level of insurance and let your agent explain to you why you should be doing something else. And make that decision on whether or not you're going to be getting back to what you did a year ago, or does revenue protection need to be part of it? Just go through the process. It doesn't take that long. You've done it before. You kind of understand the process, but use the agent. Use the agent. I think that's really solid advice. The flexibility. There was a common theme there for different reasons. Rorick sells into kind of a different market over there in Western Nebraska. He is selling into a feed market, big time, big time, big time. Mm-hmm. Depending on how much that feed yard or even the hog producers, and they're on the edge of dairies, depending on what the livestock and dairy market is, how much they've got covered on their needs, obviously that's what's going to move basis around for Rorick. So he doesn't see a whole lot of basis movement, but what he sees is the volatility in the futures market. He also sees volatility in his yields because of where he's at. Now he irrigates a lot. So his greatest variables are going to be flat price and yield. Mm-hmm. And then you get over to Ben and Ted, who are in central and northeast Iowa. And it takes an event like we had a year ago, the derecho, to really, when it just comes in out of nowhere and changes your marketing strategy as quickly as it did for those guys, that is interesting. But the other thing that Ben and Ted have in common are dang near countless options on where to deliver their grain and soybeans. Mm-hmm. They can make a run 50 miles down the road and be in Cedar Rapids, or they can head to Shell Rock, or they could go to Fairbank. They've got all kinds of options when it comes to selling corn and soybeans. Therefore, they want to maintain the flexibility on the basis side as much as maintaining flexibility on the pricing side.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know that if they can put together enough volume at any one point, the day that crusher needs to buy beans, that's when he's going to get a call. And I thought it was great. And then Jay up in North Dakota, not a whole lot of marketing and delivery points for him up there, but he's got ethanol to work with. But he's looking at maintaining flexibility primarily on the price side. I thought it was a fascinating conversation. And the easy button. We talked about the easy button today.
Easy button?
Yep. How we haven't been able to find anybody that is willing to say, yeah, this new crop bean price, that's good enough. I'm going to take that and switch up my plantings, switch up my acres for 2021.
Mm-hmm.
There was some of that discussion in the on the panel today. I thought it was fascinating. So when you look at the revenue potential from the lower cost soybeans against higher cost corn, and then the revenue potential, when everything nets out, the easy button is to make the switch from corn to soybeans and not put as many miles on your trucks in the fall hauling grain.
And not worry about anhydrous and UAN and all
that's
that.
Right. That's right. Mm-hmm. And in that derecho area, do you really want to go back into a field that got blown over in, on August 10th of last year and plant corn into all that residue mm-hmm. with all those different bugs and molds and diseases that might be in there?
Sure.
Just some things to think about. Some things to
That's
think
good
about
stuff.
There. Yeah,
good
man.
Stuff, brother.
Oh, it was fascinating. Great conversation with those guys. For Davis and for producer Big Apple Joe Stackler, thank you for listening today. Tomorrow morning, we got the free-for-all going. Wiesmeyer Haney and Representative Axney. Tomorrow afternoon, Mike North, Commodity Risk Management Group, right here on AgriTalk.